But here we go. We've arrived. You thought The Holiday Part 2 was the big news. You've been bamboozled. No. January 2024, Community Day, Rowlett. Oh, the crowd went wild. All the people that have been asleep since Froakie Community Day have rubbed their eyes and they're coming out of their caves. It's okay to be excited about a Community Day again. Let's do it.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Happy holidays from GoCast, but just the second part this time.
Validation has never been more rewarding than when linking your Pokemon Trainer Club account.
Don't side duck this costume Pokemon now in the wild.
What's the new Community Day Pokemon? Will Rowlett you know? And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 263. It's December 20th. It's a Wednesday, early afternoon. We just couldn't keep it up with the Tuesdays, I guess. Nah, I had something with work pop up. Kyle is very flexible, and I'm very thankful. But I'm your host, Chris, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how are you doing this week?
Doing okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Okay, that's pretty solid. I'm excited for us to talk about our goals for the first time in a long time, let me just say. I'm actually mostly excited to brag about stuff that aren't on my goals, but that's kind of where we talk about our week in review, if we remember. So I'm jazzed. But how was your week? Goals aside, did you actually get to play any of this winter event? Because it's pretty good.
I've played a little bit of it. Not okay. A whole lot. I'm catching my Citadels.
Nice.
Yeah. I really don't care about the costumes, I'm not gonna lie.
Really? Oh, I don't either. Except for the stuff I'm excited to share.
Well, they're all like most of them are repeats that I've already been around for playing. And the new one's a Pikachu, right? So like
Yeah, it's the Pikachu and it's the Psyduck, I guess.
But
yeah, you get like what a few chances with it if you bought the research or not. Then did you end up buying the two tickets?
No.
My man. Okay, I did. So it'll be interesting to compare and contrast. Spoilers, there's not much to compare and contrast. I just got to do some more tasks. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like a 12-step one for the holiday one that has the two parts. And so like it stopped me on like step 4 and it's like the professor is researching more stuff and I'm like, cool, maybe it's after I completed 4. Let's talk about our goals here. This past weekend was the 2-day December extravaganza, that is Community Day 2023, or was, I suppose, because it's in the past. Although Kyle did not set any shiny goals for it because you were busy and you didn't need to do it because you didn't miss a Community Day. Really?
Yeah, I didn't play at all for Community Day.
Good for you. Did you feel any FOMO whatsoever?
No.
You, my friend, are liberated. Congratulations. You've freed yourself.
I also didn't get the ticket, which, by the way, was extremely value. I don't think we had an opportunity to say that last week, but
it was good value.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I don't even remember what was in it. It was such a blur. It was pretty easy. It comprised a lot of like just catch, event themed Pokemon or Community Day themed Pokemon or whatever.
Yep.
And some basic catching stuff. But funnily enough, we'll talk about research tasks later on in the show. So let's just do that. But for your goals, you wanted to finish the time. Well, I didn't want to finish, but I guess get progress on the Timeless Travels research, the seasonal research. Did you get any work done on that?
Yeah, I'm on the second step. I think I'm like 6 out of 7 days for the hard time gate that is going on there.
Oh, but the
then
catch.
Like step 4, whatever. Yeah. It's like you have to wait for Professor Willow and
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so I got through that step this week. I'm like 1 day on the timer ahead of you, I guess. But yeah, you have to, for 7 days in a row, there's 3 things. You got to catch a Pokemon, spin a stop or a gym disc,
and then
earn a heart with your buddy. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So good job on that. Did you do your storage cleanup?
So I did. Not quite as much as I want, but still a lot more than you probably have, even not counting December Day.
Yeah.
I've got 2,200 free spaces right now.
Ooh, I've got like 1,200, and I thought that was a lot. Oh no!
And I also transferred a significant number of legendaries and shinies.
Oh,
like I had like 20. Good lord, what's the name of the Pokemon? Not Beware. What's the first stage of Beware?
Oh, Stuffle?
Stuffle. I had like 20 shiny Stuffle. I got rid of like 10 of them.
Oh, I was expecting you to give an example of a legendary you had a bunch of because you
Oh,
said
I had like I had like 80 Xerneas.
Yeah, yeah.
I still had all of mine from New York.
It's the ones from events because we don't really raid that much outside of those live events anymore. When you're there, you're like, when did I do 50 Latias? How did this happen?
So I what I did to clean out my storage this time, I usually go numerical order. After I clear out the most recent stuff, I go numerical order and I go down that way. Mm-hmm. But I always give up because it's too long. So I went reverse numerical order and I started in, you know, with Gimmighoul and whatnot from Paldea.
Yep.
And I went down and I got all the way to Hoenn and my Rayquazas from GoFest. And I'm like, there's too many Rayquazas
here.
I'm going to do this later.
So how many legendaries of each Pokemon do you leave?
If it's one I'm using, I'm only keeping the ones I have powered up because I've already made my commitments there. If it's ones I'm not using, like 3 or 4.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. For each tier, whether it's weather booster or not, I keep like the top 2 or top 3 of each of those. So like 4 or 6.
I got rid of all of my Kyurem except one because... Doesn't matter, and we're going to get Kyurem White and Black eventually.
Yes, yes. And it's not even allegedly. It kind of already happened, so yeah.
Well, eventually. Yeah.
Well, you saw the bug of it showing. Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, I know. Again, it's this weird gray area. It's like, if it's a leak from it comes, if it's coming from inside the house or not, like, you know, I don't know. Long story short, there was a Black Kyurem, and, you know, Kyurem Black and Kyurem White, right? Were GBL rewards for a short window, and they should not have been.
Just very funny.
It is very funny. All the battlers like, "Woo, something new just for us," and they're like, "That was a mistake. We don't mean to give you guys anything." Like,
yeah.
Anyway, storage cleanup. You did that. What about buddy progress? Did you get somewhere with one of those little guys?
Yeah, I'm about halfway to ultra friends, ultra buddy.
Nice. With what, your 18th Gengar?
No, I don't have any more Hundos. My Hundo Hydreigon.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a good one to best buddy. Yeah. Cool. Good for you. So that's 3 out of 3. That's an A+. Good for you. For myself, I had set a goal of 20 shinies over the course of the 2 days. I actually walked away up until today, since Community Day, like 35 shinies. 27 of them were on Community Day. 20 of those shinies were in the first 90 minutes of day one. They were just dropping like crazy. It was nuts. I think the rate was high because it was really high for a lot of people. But 200,000 Stardust, I did that real easy, and then it was too easy to hatch 50 eggs. I hatched more than that, so very happy about all that. Now, the thing I'm happiest about most is that I finally, Kyle, got my second Shundo ever. It's been literally years. My first one was from the OG original EV Community Day. It's an Espeon. And I hatched an Alolan Geodude, and it was 100, and I screamed out loud. It was great. And then proceeded to post it everywhere and tell everybody all about it, because that's what we do.
Dang, we were on par for so long, but not anymore.
No, now you gotta step it up. I have since with this new event, since the event started, I've gotten 3 additional shinies. And they are a Holiday Eevee, which is 98%.
Okay.
A Holiday Stantler and another Holiday Sfeel. I had one last year, but I'm getting one every single day just from catching like maybe 50 Pokemon. It's getting very, very lucky. Very lucky. All right. Bragging is over. Yep. So aside from all that, I think we should probably just hop into the news because we got plenty to talk about there. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, first things first, Community Day was this past weekend. Like Kyle said, the research ended up being pretty valuable. Rates seemed good. There's bonuses for everybody. There's really no downside to it unless, you know, you're just not inspired because you've already caught all these Pokemon before, which is completely fine as well. But it seemed to go over pretty well. One other thing that happened in the news that we won't cover because now it's past is that this past Monday, there was a Kecleon event that was unannounced. Yep. That was from 5 to 8 p.m. local time. And the tweet for it or any sort of heads up whatsoever about it wasn't posted until like 12 hours after it started, like in the States. So if you were in New Zealand, Australia, or many other time periods, you just missed out completely unless you were, on top of it enough and saw it on social media and somebody else noticed it and was like, is there something happening? And then it had to get confirmed. And by that time, you didn't have any time to do it. It was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And universally, even people that I see online defending Niantic's takes and stances and decision-making processes, until they're blue in the face, we're also like, nah, this one ain't good. Nah, that was not. What? Why do this? You know? So I don't know, Kyle, what did you end up seeing about this online? Anybody?
I didn't see anyone's takes on it, mm-hmm. really, but it's just doesn't make any sense, really.
No.
You can't surprise people with something that's hard to notice.
Right. Right,
like, yeah. If you want to surprise me and say that Wednesday at 4 p.m., everything is going to be Weedle, okay, funny, fun, catch that. You know, people be like, oh, my God, what happened? But Kecleon, people want Kecleon, obviously.
Yes.
But you can't know there's a Kecleon event going on if somebody doesn't tell you, unless every single stop has one.
That's right. That's right. And it was just a increase. It was like,
yeah,
you know, I don't even know what the rate was, but if it had been every stop, it would have been very obvious. And it was,
yeah, not. Exactly. So you got to make something spontaneous very obvious, especially in a game as widespread as Go is.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. More. Make a Kecleon event. Make a Kecleon, yes, day. I don't care. That's exciting.
Yes. Just,
we got to know about it.
Yeah, give us a heads up. Say, hey, on Monday, there will be a mystery event and show a silhouette of Kecleon and say 5 to 8. Don't have to say what it is, but basically say what it is. And then people would have been out in droves for this because everybody wants to finish their stinking masterwork research.
Yep.
Or whatever. Yeah. No, not masterwork. Yep. Whatever it was for GoTOR. No,
That's the masterwork. That's the one from Hoenn.
Yeah. So that step is like plaguing people, and this would have been nice. And I think having had it happened, there we go, that's the right order of those words, having had the event happened and having missed it because there was zero communication, not because you weren't paying attention, but because nothing was said about it whatsoever, feels worse than it never happening in the first place. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we'll acknowledge here, not a good move.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, the current winter event is rock solid. It's very, very good. So I think, good with the bad, right? Anyway, new pieces of news, new Indigo Disc inspired avatar items. Trainers, to celebrate the launch of the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero Part 2, the Indigo Disc DLC for the Pokemon Scarlet or Pokemon Violet video games, new avatar items inspired by the main character's outfits will be available to all trainers for free starting on December 13th, 2023. They're pretty stylish. I love the DLC. Kyle, have you played it yet?
Not yet. I'm going to want to pick up both of them and finally play through them soon. Oh.
That was my next question, was going to be, have you played Teal Mask yet? Because I know we haven't done that quite yet. Yeah. So Kyle is going to take his time. I think I'm going to try to get together with Lachlan and record something for Indigo Disc, because we kind of missed time on Teal Mask, although I've got a lot of thoughts and feelings. So I'm eager for you to play it so we can talk about it anyway. But yeah, the clothes look good. The DLC is good. There's some fun Pokemon coming to Pokemon Go that are in this game. And as always, Paradox Forms serve to impress and wow and astonish. We love it. But we'll leave some of that gray and unspoilery because that's the nice thing to do at this time. It just came out. Well, they also did announce that there's going to be another epilogue that's coming out December or January 11th, which okay. features you taking your original like three friends, Nimona, Penny, and what's his name, Grumpy Pants with the sandwiches, to Kitakami, which is the setting of the first DLC, The Teal Mask. So that looks interesting from the teasers there. Anyway, cool stuff. Go pick up those those avatar items that are inspired from the DLC, if you so choose. At least go take a look at them. They're slick. First piece of, I guess, real news, even though I just said that, Winter Holiday Part 2. We talked about this last week, that we were going to talk about it this week. But we wanted to, even though we had details, we wanted to separate them by a week because there's quite a bit of overlap and similarity between Part 1 and Part 2. And so this will hopefully help highlight some differences since we covered it later. Trainers, the final leg of our festive celebration, Winter Holiday Part 2, will introduce two new costumed Pokemon, Psyduck wearing holiday attire and Golduck wearing holiday attire. Plus, for the first time, trainers will be able to encounter shiny Vanillite if they're lucky. Have a holly jolly time with winter-themed postcard book backgrounds, a smattering of snow on the in-game map, and so much more to make the 2023 holiday season merry and bright. Kyle, can I file a complaint with you that people are going to be like, I can't believe you complained about this?
Yeah.
You know how we've talked about how like it doesn't take much. They just need to put a little bit on the overworld map to make it like spicy and fun. the snow lumps don't look good.
They're so bad.
I like them.
Even the leaves. Oh, man.
I like them. What I don't like is when there's like 12 of them all on top of each other. That doesn't look okay. I like them when they're spread out and they're not touching and stuff like that. It's fine.
Nah, it needed more. Like, it just, it doesn't really feel like snow. There should have been some snow-covered trees that popped up or something. Oh, like anything.
Yeah.
Also, make sure they're on the correct layer loading into your game. Do you see the picture of the Ghastly?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ghastly's smoke is behind the snow.
Anyway, again, the event has been lovely so far. I just wanted to say that one thing. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there is there's that. When is this part two happening though? It's starting on Monday, December 25th, and it's running to Sunday, December 31st at 8 p.m. local time. Debuts include Psyduck and Golduck wearing holiday attire. If you bought the tickets and you've gotten through a bunch of the research like I have, you've already encountered these, but they'll be added to the wild pool, which we'll outline in a moment here. Event bonuses. During the winter holiday event, trainers can choose the bonus they want to receive for completing timed research, either double experience for catching or double stardust for catching. And then there's increased XP and stardust from opening gifts. So if you have already started the research and you've already made it through Winter Wishes and chosen your bonus, it's going to be the same bonus for part two. So this really doesn't affect you. It's just, you know, that as you were trainer sort of thing.
Yep.
Yep. Timed research Winter Wishes. Trainers will continue to have access to free branching timed research. This is the one that they're talking about. This is where you can choose your bonus from. No matter which wish you pick, all trainers who complete the research will receive items and encounter winter themed Pokemon. So wild encounters at this time, it's really similar to the pool you're already seeing. Couple of key differences. Pikachu wearing holiday attire, Alolan Vulpix. Psyduck wearing holiday attire, that's the new one. Seal, a holiday Eevee. Swinub, holiday ribbon Delibird. Snorunt, Sfeel, Galarian Darumaka. Vanillite, new shiny available. Holiday ribbon Cubchoo, Cryogonal, Sottadle, Sneasel, Pilswine, and Amora. So, again, it's almost identical to what you're seeing in your game right now. In raids, one-star raids will feature Pikachu in holiday attire, Alolan Vulpix, Cubchoo wearing a holiday ribbon, Cabrawler, and Sittadle. I don't have the other list in front of me for part one, but I think this is the same list. I'm surprised they didn't throw a Psyduck in there so that we could farm it. But hey, three-star raids will feature Dewgong, Lapras, holiday ribbon Delibird, and Glaceon wearing an undersea holiday outfit. In 2 kilometer eggs for this event, Eevee wearing a holiday hat and Psyduck wearing holiday attire hatched from eggs will have a greater chance of being shiny than when found in the wild. And in addition to those two, added to the pool are Smoochum, Galarian Darumaka, and Amora. Very, very similar pool in the field research task encounters that the Holiday Pikachu, Holiday Psyduck, Alolan Vulpix, Shellder, Jinx, Lapras, Holiday Stantler, Holiday Scarf, Sveal, Snover, Undersea Outfit, Glaceon, Vanillite, Crabrawler, and then you can get energy for Mega Abomasnow or Mega Glalie as well. The new avatar items and stickers, some of these avatar items don't seem to be out yet, even though they were kind of also listed in part one. I don't know if they specifically said they were coming out in part two. We might have to wait for it, but the Delibird onesie, the Citadel hat, Holiday boots, Holiday gloves, and Holiday's sweater and scarf. And there's event-themed stickers. Nothing's changed there. You get them the same way, the same kind of stickers. I don't think they're going to drastically change, if at all, for part two. You can still get that Amazon Prime research. So go do that from Prime Gaming. There's the paid time to research the two tickets, and then there's showcases. And this past weekend has demonstrated that they're fixed. For now. Thank goodness we don't have a holiday themed Squirtle, you know.
We should, though.
We should. I agree. So, Mr. Kyle, that's part two. You looking at anything in here in particular that you're like, oh, nice, in comparison to part one?
No, it's fine. Vanillite shiny is underwhelming.
sure.
Vanillite is like bottom three Pokemon ever for me. So
the shiny's okay. It's fine.
It's not that good.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying it's fine.
I don't think it's fine.
Wow, no. It's not even just fine for you.
Okay, it's fine.
Because it's purple.
Vanillite shiny is fine. Its evolutions are bad.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't like continue the theme, really.
Oh, yeah, it goes from pink to purple and even darker purple. Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's always weird when they do that, when the color is the same throughout the evolution line, the shiny differentiates. That's weird.
Don't like Vanillite, though. I hate that family. So,
jeez.
I stand by this. I think the only food Pokemon that I like is Applin, because Applin is, it's just too good to not like.
And Appleton? Yeah.
Appleton is like top 10 Pokemon.
Yeah, Appleton is just really good Pokemon design.
Oh my god.
Peak. It's peak. I'm with you there. I'm happy to see the Psyduck oot in a boot so that we can sort of, you know, hunt it down and know where places to find it. And I like seeing it higher shiny rate in 2 kilometer eggs. So happy days there. But that's pretty much all there is to say. Not to move on too quickly, but there is nothing really else to sort of explore there. So good luck in part two, and we hope that you had good luck in part one and that your Wordier raid day has gone well. Next piece of news, link and validate your Pokemon Trainer Club account. Remember it went down for maintenance? Well, now if you validate or make and link your Pokemon Trainer Club account, you get some rewards for doing so. And they are a super incubator and 1,000 dust for doing so. This is free money on the table, so to speak. So might as well do it. Might as well. I mean, for me, they could have been like a super incubator. Like it could have been anything else, nothing else. And I still would have gone for it. But 1,000 stardust is basically zero.
it's actually nothing.
But it's a full super incubator. It's not one use. It's a full one.
I mean, okay, so that's 99 cents.
Nice. I'll do that. That's fine. I already have a Pokemon Training Club account.
It's more like $1.99, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm happy to see that. So do that. There's really no opinion. There's no reason not to.
You should do it.
Yeah. But here we go. We've arrived. You thought the holiday part two was the big news. You've been bamboozled. No. January 2024 Community Day. Rowlet. Oh, the crowd went wild. All the people that have been asleep since Froakie Community Day have rubbed their eyes and they're coming out of their caves. It's okay to be excited about a Community Day again. Let's do it. So when is Rowlet CD? It'll be Saturday, January 6th from 2 to 5 local time, PM of course. Featured attack is Frenzy Plant. So evolve a Dartrix into Decidueye during the period of time to get it to know Frenzy Plant, which in both trainer battles and gyms and raids, it has 100 power. That should not be a new move to anybody listening, probably. Attack availability updates, starting with the event and continuing afterwards, Decidueye will be able to learn the charged attack Spirit Shackle. In trainer battles, it does 50 power and a chance to lower the opposing Pokemon's defense by one stage. And in gyms and raids, it has 70 power. So you lose the status there a little bit. It's a little bit interesting. Spirit Shackle is its signature move, so to speak. So it's exciting. I like seeing this. It's very akin to Blaziken getting Blaze Kick. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's also a ghost move, right?
Yep. Yes, it is.
So that's rad. Community special research story, $1 US or equivalent to your local, if you want to do that. Event bonuses. The feature bonus for this one is 3x catch Stardust, so it appeals to everybody unilaterally. That's lovely. And then the basics of 2x candy, 2x candy XL if you can get them, lure modules and incense lasting for 3 hours, take snapshots, additional special trade, and trades will cost 50% less Stardust. Additionally, the bonus raids will feature Dartrix from 5 to 10 p.m. to get you more spawns when you finish those. There'll be 4-star raids. Yeah, 4-star raids. January Community Day themed field research will give you Rowlet encounters, Stardust, Ultra Balls, and more. Those have always been really good on Community Days because they only really ever require you to just catch 3 of the featured Pokemon. And so you can just burn through them and accumulate a lot of Ultra Balls pretty quick, and it's nice. Showcases will feature Rowlet, and I have faith that they will. Web store and in-game shop bundles will be available, the usual fare. And you can get Rowlet Community Day themed stickers via the regular avenues. So spin stops, open gifts, buy them in the shop if you're so inclined. So all that out of the way, Mr. Kyle, Rowlet Community Day. Are you one of the people that are excited about this, or are you going to naysay this?
Oh, absolutely. I'm super excited.
My man.
I love Rowlet.
I know you do.
One of my favorite starters, like, without a question.
Yep.
I have a hundo that is sitting there, never evolved, actually waiting for this one. So I can, like, take that right to level 50. That's another ghost on there. Actually right. Level 50, unlike most of my ghosts, so...
Yeah, so Decidueye is a grass ghost type Pokemon. It gets the ghost typing, which is cool. Yep.
It's kind of sad that its only ghost fast move is Astonish. So despite, I think it's buff last season, this season, doesn't still not good.
This season. Went from 5 to 8, I think, right?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Spirit Shackle's good. It's a shame, though, it didn't get the double combo that Greninja got, fast move, charge move, because of Water Shuriken. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
2 charge moves is fun, but, you know, just means it's a PvP thing.
Yeah, it didn't really have an appropriate equivalent to get it a quick move, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you look at this 50 base power, it's probably a spammy move. It could have been a fast move just like Water Shuriken. Water Shuriken's not exactly a spammy move in the main series game, so
it's a multi-attack move, though, and Spirit Shackle is a one attack move. That's difference they kind of I think they're taking some creative liberties. I agree with you, but I think that's probably the thought process there for them, you know.
Yeah
So you just take Night Slash as your second charge move on Greninja, right? I think
I don't even remember. I know it's good. Yeah, that's all I know.
It's good. So, yeah, no, Rowlet Community Day is going to be rad, and people love Rowlet. People that haven't played Sun and Moon, people that don't even know what Alola is, love Rowlet. It's got universal acclaim. It's a great starter. So, yeah, great, which means that we're also getting probably pretty close to Litten, which would be nice. Mm-hmm. So, there's that. All right, we're moving a little quickly here today because we don't have too much time, but that is the news. Good stuff on the horizon. Very exciting. Speaking of good stuff on the horizon, Mr. Kyle, I think it's gear up time.
And this week on Gear Up, we're just going to talk about Decidueye just for a moment. It's going to be very brief because there's not a whole lot to say, unfortunately. Breaks my heart. With Frenzy Plant, Decidueye is okay. It's okay. It gets better, obviously, because Frenzy Plant is really good. It puts Decidueye roughly on par with Roserade, which is good. Roserade is a very good grass type attacker if you don't count shadows and megas and all that kind of stuff. It's still really far behind Kartana, though, and Kartana is so far above everything else that it's really hard to have a conversation about grass types ever again at this point. It's also behind Zarud, for whatever that's worth, for those of you who dumped a lot of candy into their Zarud. So there's that. Now, while I was looking at this, just have a side note before we're done. Meowscarada without Frenzy Plant is already really good. Like, it's like fifth or sixth if you don't count shadows and megas. So with Frenzy Plant, it's going to be the best non-legendary grass type attacker in the game. So
when we get Meowscarada.
Yeah, you know, in 4 years. Yeah. Roughly. I don't know. That's sort of the timeline we have.
We'll see. Wait until next season's theme is like the season of Community Day Classics. We get two a month and it's everything we've already seen.
Oh my God. Someone out there would be very excited about that.
I mean,
it's not me, but
I could see it. I think this would be a terrible time for it, but I could see that. Yeah.
And that's the Decidueye. So it's positive, especially if you don't have a team of six Kartana.
Yeah.
Although if you have a team of six Roserade, I wouldn't recommend investing in Decidueye. It's not going to be worth it.
You could also just like repurpose your Roserades to be poison attackers really quick and then fill in the gap with, you know.
Yeah. If you don't have Nihilegos. Just chilling for whatever reason.
I've just got the one hundo and he's still not.
Me too. He's still only not halfway. Mixed. He's only halfway.
It's rough, man. It's rough like waiting for Ultra Beasts because we had them for a while and now like we were all very confident that they would just be kind of around regularly. They're nowhere to be seen. And it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Plus we're still missing a couple. So
yeah, we're still missing like five.
Blacephalon, Stakataka,
Poiple.
Oh yeah, the only one that evolves. Necrozma, but yeah, Necrozma's an edge case, I guess.
That's four.
I think they're all probably missing one. We're probably missing one, but Blacephalon is one that always slips my mind, even though it's like one of my favorites of the group.
It's Ghost Fire though.
It's so cool. So cool. All right, cool. Well, thanks, Kyle. Decidueye, good. Also, in a world of other good grass Pokemon, it's up there. Not the top, but it's up there. Great. We're going to take a short little break then, and we'll be back with Pokalore. Welcome back. It's Pokalore time, and this week we're going to be revisiting an old favorite, a Kanto Pokemon, and its Kanto evolution, Seal and Dugong, the sea lion Pokemon. Let's start with Seal. I'm sure you've seen quite a bit of Seal around for this event. I'm sure if you're playing the DLC, you've been seeing it a lot too in the ice biome too. So Seal is a pinniped Pokemon with a thick hide covered in bluish white fur. It has a pale tan maw with a large red tongue and a pair of tusks on its lower jaw. It has circular eyes and a black nose that is capable of closing when it swims. There is a small horn on its forehead, which is used, which it uses in combination with its tusks to bore through ice floes. It has two flippers on its chest and two more on the end of its tail. When the tail is raised, it resembles a water spout. You see this like a lot of key art for the seal. It's got its tail like straight up, especially like the classic Pokemon card art. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seal lives on icebergs and frigid ocean waters. Its warm fur and thick hide allow it to swim in waters as cold as negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 40 Celsius. It thrives in these cold environments, becoming more active as the temperature drops, and tires easily in warm waters. Preferring to sleep during the day, it hunts for prey under sheets of ice in the late day and evening hours. While it is a graceful swimmer, it is awkward and struggles to move on dry land. How relatable. Dugong is a pinniped Pokemon with a snowy white furry body. Its fur renders it virtually invisible in snowy conditions. Its face has two black eyes, a black nose, and two tusks extending from its upper jaw. It has a streamlined body with two front flippers and a long flowing tail. Even extremely cold and ice-packed waters, its tail allows it to be a swift and agile swimmer at speeds of 8 knots. On top of its head is a sharp horn, which allows it to cut through the thickest ice floes. It lives on icebergs adrift in frigid ocean waters. It thrives in lower temperatures, becoming increasingly more active the colder the cold weather is. And by storing thermal energy within its body, it is completely unharmed by even the most intense freezing weather. During daylight hours, it sleeps on bitterly cold ice or under shallow water. However, at night, when the temperature drops, it becomes a hunter and searches for prey, such as wishy-washy. Following a meal, it sunbathes on the beach. This raises its body temperature and aids in digestion. Some stats, not going to blow you away, I'll be completely honest. Max CP at 40 is 1985, and at 50 is 2245. So you're not going to be using this in Ultra League. Sorry. 207 stamina, 177 defense, and 139 attack. Best moveset is Ice Shard and Icy Wind and Drill Run. Ice Shard and Icy Wind are both legacy moves, so you have to use a charge TM for them or catch them during an event, which rarely happens.
The double legacy is still good in Great League, though, right? That's still a thing, or has it been like outclassed?
No, it's still good. That's my understanding, at least. I see dugongs every once in a while in PvP conversations.
It's in the top 100, so that counts.
Yeah, if you have it built, you're going to keep using it, you know, kind of like the Lapras's that people built as well.
Yeah, not so. Worth a double elite TM, though.
No, not unless dugong is like your favorite Pokemon and you want to run it really bad, you know? But yeah, no, this is an OG Pokemon. Seal and Dugong, classic.
Yeah, this may surprise some people. Seal and Dugong, peak Pokemon design philosophy. I don't think they're like peak Pokemon designs themselves, but the idea of it's just a thing.
Oh,
from Gen 1,
but
done so well that you can't just say, oh, it's just a seal, even though it is just a seal.
I like it too because it's not just a seal that evolves into like another seal. It's a seal into a sea lion, right? Which makes sense evolutionarily to a degree. It's a logical Pokemon design.
It's got the really strong ideas behind it. Just like how Growlithe, it's just a dog, and Vulpix, it's just a fox, but they're not just those things. And I really like that.
Yeah, I agree. And Seal is very popular, probably for some of those reasons. You know, it has stood the test of time, as many Generation 1 designs have. So shout out to Seal and Dugong lovers out there. There you go. But that's it for Pokalore, which means that we're already in Pokeball territory.
Last week's Pokeball question was, even if the free portion is great, does the option of purchasing a ticket for an event in Pokemon Go change your attitude about it? How so? First response from Sarah Amanda said, Niantic needs to make money from their free-to-play mobile game somehow. If the free experience is pretty good, then I don't see what's wrong with charging people who want to pay money for more stuff. It's also nice that these add-on tickets are usually giftable, so you can pleasantly surprise your friends.
Yep. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, for the most part. Next response from Oaken. They said, it is a shame that Niantic are removing the paid experience for GoTour. With the information we have now, the global ones feels lackluster. I understand they want in-person events to be special, but I don't understand why they have to make it like the global experience have to feel so much worse. There are a much bigger amount of people that did not have the chance to participate in in-person events, so this does not make sense to me. The first GoTour was amazing. Of course, it had some that could be improved, but the upcoming tour does not seem nearly that exciting.
Yeah, so last year, Hoenn was a free global experience too, right? It was Kanto that was paid. I think Johto had a ticket too.
Yeah.
I think so.
Hoenn last year was worse than this year, though, because you had to pay to get the masterwork.
Right.
This year you will get it as long as you log in during the time, right? That's what's happening. Something like that. You don't have to pay to get it.
I believe that's my understanding as well. Yeah.
So that's better. But yeah, Last year you had to pay and you still got the lackluster event. So
true. Yeah, I think this is just an argument that like let us pay for it just a little bit, like $10, and make it just a better event. Have the shiny odds feel better, you know, and make the in-person draw just that be the reason that people go.
This response is almost, it's almost an invert of the question, actually, which is interesting, because the idea of if the free portion is really good, does a paid portion make it worse? Versus if the free portion is really bad and there's no paid portion, would you prefer to have a paid portion instead?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I would, and that's not good. Like, I don't think that's good, but I still would probably prefer that.
I think it also depends. Like, you know, there's a difference between like a ticket that's $4.99 or $9.99 as opposed to, you know, even if you didn't have to pay for travel and lodging in LA, which, wow, what a dream. The ticket is like $70, you know, all in, and or 20, 25, 30 or 30 if you don't get it early base. You know, and so, yeah, I think people are just enamored with the idea of throwing him a fiver and getting something out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think that's a healthy economy sort of thing. Like, even if for people that are playing that are free to play, avid free to play players, and the idea of giving a mobile game $5 is sinful to you, to a lot of people that they know they're going to spend a few hours doing it, $5 is worth that experience, even if they don't normally spend money. So, I get it. It's a good point.
Next spot's from Trip Tando, and they said, I strongly dislike the fact that features that used to be free are now paid for. It really feels like they're over-forcing it down our throats, and this is their way of making up from lost revenue from remote raid pit changes. To judge an event whether it's good or not, I look at the free portion of it, since that's what everyone by default gets to play. Winter Part 1 looks great. Winter Part 2 is lackluster, because besides Costume Psyduck in the Wild and Shiny Vanillite release, there's not really much difference to it.
Yeah.
Counterpoint, though. If Winter 1 is great and Winter 2 is just Winter 1 plus, does that not also still make it great? Like, this still has everything that made Winter 1 good about it. You just get to play it for one more week if you want to. And it has another shiny to chase. Two shinies, technically, with the costume.
But I think that's right. I do. I understand, you know, hey, marketing is part two. And you're like, oh, I wanted something new and exciting. You didn't get that.
Yeah.
That part being disappointing. But yeah, I think it requires a step back and doing the simple mental math like you did. Like, oh, it's one plus, they didn't take anything away, like I liked it, so you could say
that the idea that it needed to be split in two was not really necessary, that's for sure, but I don't think it's lackluster if we like the first part.
It's good and lazy.
It is lazy, though.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm okay with that as long as it's good.
Next one's from Modders, and he said, hello, gents. It's choices. You can buy the paid add-ons or not. It's like me being a dolphin, demoted from whale due to lack of remote raids as a paid-to-play trainer, and my wife being a minnow as a free-to-play trainer. It's her choice to turn to me every other day, give me those puppy dog eyes, and ask me to sort out her storage. Under no circumstances.
Nope. Can't even take care of myself, let alone somebody else. Myself. Yeah.
It's also my choice to max out my storage, even when there's no real need.
My man.
History thus far has shown all the paid options gives you a little bit more to do with rewards that never really merit the cost of the ticket. Loving your work as ever, chaps. Sometimes the rewards merit the cost of the ticket.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
But it depends on how you value the cost of things, I suppose.
Yeah, but even when we math it out, like,
I mean, okay, look, you can say that, but I'm pretty sure that the December Community Day ticket had both an elite charged and an elite fast TM on it.
Yeah, so, but that's the exception, not the rule, you know?
But I'm just saying that you can look at something and say, okay, that's good value. That's all. I'm just saying.
Understood. Can. I'm with you. I'm with you, it. Kyle. I agree.
So for our last response from Artemis Dragon, they said, yes, LOL. As Chris said on the last episode, all of this does stem from my attitude towards Niantic. Locking old content that has been free in the past behind a paywall has never been worth real money to me. And these two winter holiday tickets have not persuaded me to think any different here. What do you get for two tickets worth $7 total? Four battle passes, recycled half-baked costume Pokemon, and a new pose that you have to earn, according to the blog. If Niantic's goal for this event is to make money, they should have just thrown in Galarian Mr. Mime for newer players and bring that $7 up to a cool length.
They gave you a Galarian Mr. Mime for free, though, in the other research. So, yeah.
I think that's a not very subtle jab that the Mr. Mime research cost $8 like 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have really got people going. Seriously, though, do they want money? Do they not? Because I'm not seeing any point in making collectors pay for a bunch of old content just because they have an attire. Not that I'd buy it anyways, being free to play now since you know when. It's a good event for sure, but these locked items shouldn't be paywalled. Pokecoins should have been the preferred currency.
I'm assuming that the inciting event once you that made you go free to play was the gym rework, question mark?
I don't know. I was thinking about when they released Kecleon.
Just both go to the absolute wrong answer.
That said, I get the wanting it to be Pokecoins, but the thing here is if you just wait, you can get the pose for Pokecoins, no problem.
Yeah,
for the same value actually. So you just forego all of the half-baked costumes, which, you know, I mostly agree with you on that, and just buy the pose if you like the pose for free if you save your Pokecoins.
There's also something gross feeling about being like, you can get Pokecoins for an encounter with Mr. Galarian Mr. Mime, like having it as a reward for research that I bought to do to earn, quote unquote, feels so much different, and being reductive like this doesn't, I don't know, it makes me feel icky.
Yeah. And that said, this is not a major deal. I'm not going to downplay the fact that a lot of people really do like research encounter Pokemon because mm-hmm. that's a guaranteed encounter of guaranteed stats. It's one of my favorite parts about Community Day is doing field research that reward the Pokemon. I don't want Ultra Balls. I don't want Stardust. I want to see another Rowlet. That's what I want when I go out to get those research. So I can see why some people are like, yeah, this adds value to the ticket to me.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. And with that, we're on this week's PokePoll. And that is, what is your proudest Pokemon Go achievement from this past year?
Broad question. Looking for broad answers, I suppose.
From this past
year? Yeah, this last calendar year. What have you done in Pokemon Go, or what have you done with Pokemon Go that you are most proud of?
Oh no, my Pokemon Go needs to update apparently. I can't look for inspiration.
All right. I've got a few, so it's gonna be kind of hard for me to narrow it down. But I think getting a Hundo Groudon at Hoenn and Mega Evolving or Primal Evolution for that guy. I just would not shut up about that Pokemon for the longest time. Very happy about it. The stars don't normally align like that. Like, I'll get shinies and stuff, and that's cool, but it's never like in the moment, oh, this is so appropriate. This is the peak of this experience. Like, that to me was really rad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is a cop out, but you reminded me because I have the exact same answer, sort of. During GoFest, getting not one, but two Hundo Rayquazas basically back to back.
Yeah.
Like within three raids. And I was like so happy. And then Hundo Groudon the day before. Oh my God. Major mm-hmm. achievement. Mm-hmm. And also like 2 hours before that, my girlfriend got a Shundo Rayquaza. So yeah, I'm still salty about that. But that
are you still hearing about it every day?
No, but whenever she remembers to bring it up, she does.
Oh yeah, I'm like, anyway, that's cool, Kyle. I have a Shundo Rayquaza. What are we having for dinner?
Yeah, exactly. Every time.
Good stuff. Okay, well, anyway, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's Pokeball question, which was, once more, What is your proudest Pokemon Go achievement from this past year? You can answer when we post it on X/Twitter. If you're a patron of ours, we have a patron Discord that has a one channel in it called PokePoll. Please feel free to post it there. If you're listening on Spotify and the mobile app, you can interact with this episode and leave a response there. If you're watching on YouTube, yes, we got a video version. Please go take a look at the YouTube channel. You can make a comment of your response there. And last but not least, of course, you can send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com or call in and leave us a voicemail to 262-586-7717. And it's about that time, Kyle. What time is it? I left my watch somewhere else.
It's time for emails.
Oh, and one singular voicemail. I'm a liar, by the way. My watch is like right here. But anyway, do it for the bit, right? Do it for the Vine. R.I.P. Yeah. Vine. All right, we're going to play our voicemail here. This one is from Sarah Amanda.
Hey, GoCast. It's Sarah Amanda here. Trying to have your eyes glaze over, but let me tell you about something in Ingress. For those who don't know, it's Niantic's game that predates Pogo.
Wizards Unite.
In Ingress, your inventory is basically stuck at 2,000 items. It's kind of hard to make a direct comparison to Pokemon Go, but I think something like being able to only hold 2,000 things, Pokemon and items combined, might be a pretty good comparison. There are only two ways to make your inventory larger in Ingress, and it both requires real money. There is no free currency that you can earn at all in Ingress. One method is a one-time $20 purchase of 6 key lockers. You can't buy any more than that even if you want to. It lets you hold 600 additional items. That's a specific type of item in Ingress. So maybe that's like being able to hold 600 additional shiny Pokemon only. If you want to increase your inventory beyond that, the only other way is to pay for the $5 monthly subscription. One of the perks of that subscription is being able to hold 500 additional items. But you only have that increased inventory space while your subscription is active. How's that for extortion? Anyway, to circle back to Pokemon Go. I agree that this expedition $5 monthly ticket thing feels like a subscription, but the extra perks feel worth the value and they feel fair. People who don't want to pay, it's not like they're missing out on exclusive Pokemon or items. And also, I also don't understand, like, I hear all the time from y'all about how y'all don't like to do gifting because it takes up so much time. Guys, like, that was when y'all couldn't even send all that much, and you never did it. I don't understand. I have a hard time imagining that y'all would have done gifting more often if it took even longer to do because you have even more gifts to send and open each time. Like, how many days did y'all even do that last season when it was a free bonus? I'm pretty sure I would have prioritized opening y'all's gifts. Well, the non-lucky people, which is basically everyone except DeFi, because we're still lucky because we didn't actually meet up at NYC to trade OTL. In anticipation for being lucky friends for next Monster Fest, I meant GoFest 2024. I would have prioritized those gifts to open. And I don't remember opening all that many. So I'm thinking y'all weren't really using it. Anyway, just saying. If you weren't using the benefit at all when it was available for free, seems silly to whine about it being a bonus for people that want to pay for it. That's all. Peace.
Yeah. So Amanda. Yeah. Hey, that's fair enough. The problem with that is that we weren't talking about us. We were talking about other people that like gifting. So
I think one thing that's important to have when you're having conversation about stuff, and I think we try and do it as much as we can here. It's really hard to have other perspectives when they're not immediately present, is think about who else uses a feature, who else likes something that's in the game. And I know for a fact that people do like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Niantic does too, because it was a season reward. That's, I think, the biggest difference is they've defined the boundaries of what this reward is and how they use it. And then they've attached it to something you spend money on. And I think that's really the kind of defining thing about it that I feel strongly for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the level of transparency we have about how we don't really gift doesn't mean that we can't have a seat at the table of the conversation of, was this a good bonus to have in here for other people or not?
Yeah.
Because our role here is analysis. That being said, I feel like this is a coded message to us that we need to get our ducks in a row, our ducklets in order, if you will, and start opening and sending gifts to Sarah Amanda. So before next Monster Fest, I mean Go Fest as well, we can be lucky friends or lucky hunters, I guess.
I make no promises. We can get best friends. I can tell you that will probably happen. Yeah. I have 3 lucky friends because I stop opening gifts from best friends after I get to best friends.
Oh.
Even people I see regularly who live in the Chicagoland area, I don't do it. I don't open enough gifts that if I'm going to be sending and opening gifts, I'm going to work on my friendship level instead.
I just sent Sarah Amanda a gift, but I used a Slowpoke Community Day sticker.
I sent the gift. I did not send a, I did not attach a sticker to it.
It takes 2 seconds, Kyle. What are you using the stickers for?
I wasn't thinking about it. I should have.
Oh,
I wasn't
okay.
thinking about it. Okay. I should have.
All right. Fair enough. That's a fine answer too. But yeah, no, we'll, well, I guess I'll try to work on it. Kyle, no promises, like he said. Thank you for the voicemail, Sarah Amanda. Appreciate you as always. We've got a few other emails here. This first one is from Squirtle Sam, and they said, "Hi, Chris and Kyle, Squirtle Sam here. I'm listening to your show for almost a year now and thought it would be time to finally write in. I found you guys from a desire to learn more and delve deeper into the game, and the information you cover in the show has absolutely helped me reach that goal." Yes. "And as a plus, listening to PvP Corner has sparked a newfound interest in playing in the Go Battle League and improved my battling skills. Most importantly, though, you've given me the inspiration to find and interact with players in my own community. Playing Pogo is fun, but it's nothing like playing the game with friends." Yeah, we will agree there. "As for what I'm looking forward to most in the new season," I believe this is trying to answer the Pokeball question from last week, but it's still relevant. "It's the winter events for sure. Living in Florida, I really look forward to and appreciate the refreshing wintry Pokemon." And who doesn't love those adorable holiday costumed cuties? Kyle. "By the way, is anyone else excited about Citadel?" Oh boy. "I can't wait to snag the Terra Whale Pokemon. It's so cute. I'm also really looking forward to raiding Wyrdeer as part of the Winter Wonderland event. I'm not the biggest fan of Stantler, but Wyrdeer looks just so majestic. Anyway, not sorry for the long email. Thanks for doing what you do. P.S. I loved Kyle's solo show. I knew he would rock it."
Thank you.
It's been like a month. People are still complimenting your solo show.
It helped a lot that there was so much news for me to go over.
There was.
Give like a lot of
also
opinionated facts on.
Again, I'm like listening, and at minute 27, he's like, "God, geez, I'm talking more than I thought I would be," and there's like 40 more minutes left to go. Good stuff. Yeah, you know, the winter events showing up for people that it's not visually winter around them has got to be quite a disconnect, but it could also be quite an escape. That's kind of nice. I wonder how our friends in the southern hemisphere feel about these events and the visuals. Yeah. Gosh. But thank you very much for listening, Squirtle Sam. We appreciate your listenership, and we're happy that you're getting value out of the show in PvP Corner and hopefully Star Piece as well, the whole shebang. But thanks. Thanks for the email.
Next email is from Artemis Dragon. They said, "Hey, fellas. I hope you're both locked in because I have some interesting topics here. All right, I wanted to get your thoughts on research tasks and whether or not you'd like to see some changes made to them. Which ones do you like? Oh, well, what particularly ones do you outright trash?
Power up.
Walk distance and hatch eggs depending on the time.
Defeat 3 Team Go Rocket grunts.
I will keep that one if it's a feature and it gives a fragment of the radar. And you can stack 3 of them.
Win 5 raids.
What's that given? Aerodactyl right now? Right?
I don't. It changes, I think. Yeah, I don't remember.
No, that's bad. What else? Probably catch 10 of a type that's not like all over the place. I'll trash that too.
Yeah, every once
even
in a while,
something
yeah.
like 10 normal types, I'm throwing that away. I don't even care if Rattata is spawning at home. It's gone.
I don't play Go to Think. See you later.
Does the feature need some love? Strangely enough, I don't ever see content around them at any time during a season, including by Niantic. It's like they just exist in the background now. Anyway, here's a summary of what is currently available this season via LeakDuck. I'm interested to know how this feature coincides with your playstyle, if at all.
And then they linked a list to the database of tasks.
I know the link from LeakDuck, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, is that the only event where they really feature, I mean, they kind of feature it in every event. They list what the field research task encounters are. That's why we make a point of reading them. I know it's repetitive, but some people, that's a very structured way of them inserting some sort of agency into this game. People do that a lot. But I mean, research days are a thing. They happen really rarely, but they happen.
So, like, I think that field research tasks exist as a background, like, bonus for people who are continually playing. Yeah. There are some people who like them more than others. You know, Saramanda likes to chase research tasks more and likes to call them out when important ones show up, like Spinda and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. I think there are too many really bad research tasks and, like, not enough middling ones, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ones that, like, exist for so little reason. They exist because they want someone to have a chance to get Aerodactyl because they still have their Mew quest, which is fine. But that then means that one, you know, 15th of every research task is that raid. And you don't want to do that. It's right. Just, I love research tasks during community day. Like I said, when I know exactly what I'm going for, what I'm getting all the time, love it. When I get one that's catch 5 Pokemon and it could reward me 3 different Pokemon, I'm not as interested anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you there. If it's easy enough, I'll do any task, honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll keep it if I'm playing actively and it's something I can do. But I think the other major takeaway for me is, and this is kind of funny because we just talked about it, they change so much. They change every, like, 3 weeks, the featured ones. Obviously, there are core ones that just kind of stick around forever. But every single event, new research tasks. I'm not learning what they are. I'm not looking at the list. If I get it and I can do it, I'm going to do it. And that's pretty much the way it works for me, at least.
Yeah, I think the problem isn't that they seem forgotten. I think they're just so incredibly normalized that nobody thinks to talk about them as much anymore.
Well, and they're also just, they're kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like 80% of them are boring. And then 15% of them are fine. And then 5% are exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't easily hunt the ones you want. You have to use a community Discord. You have to travel a lot yourself. You have to constantly be making space. If a stop, like, told you what it had before you spun it or saw it, you could see it from a distance, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. They could give you kind of an idea of it. Like, even if it's just, like, its subcategory. Oh, a catch task, a spin task, a walk task, like, things like that.
So there's more to this email, but we're still here. We haven't talked about it yet today. But in Monster Hunter now, you can see what monsters are around you from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps determine how you want to go play. That's the type of thing that you could add to Pokestops and stuff that would really drive people to move in that regard if they care, if you made the stops something that they cared about.
It would be cool if they also just sort of, like, found a way to litter those things around the map, even if there's not really a stop, like a message in a bottle you can pick up that has a special rare task on it. And, like, oh, you see it on the map that over there, there's a sparkly bit that you have to go walk over to pick the item up, you know, like, that'd be cool. Cool for rural settings too.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get back to the email though. Number two. So just like the research task is a shake up each season, nests do as well. This is where Kyle explains to new players what a nest is, because Niantic still has yet to disclose their existence. God, isn't that the truth? A nest is any location that is specifically spawning an increased rate of a nesting Pokemon. Specific Pokemon nest, and some can't at all. Like Sheldr used to nest, then they gave it an increased Stardust, and now it can't nest anymore.
Yeah, and they rotate.
It's usually tied to parks. Well, how do you know what a park is? Anything that has the dark green on the map can potentially be a nest. That does not mean it is a nest, but it can be.
And sometimes, like if there's one road separating like two park areas, sometimes a nest will cover multiple areas that are closely connected.
Also, if there's featured stuff going on, usually nests spawns will peek through and be like very standoutish. So you're like, oh, this is a nest.
Yeah. Yeah.
The park that I usually play at, like go community day. And then I go to the parking lot and there's an Apom there. I'm like, oh, I guess this is an Apom nest, huh? Yeah. It would be nice if the map and Niantic would at least share the information about that. You don't have to tell me the Pokemon. Just tell me they exist.
They could use the same outbreak indicators that they have in Scarlet and Violet. That'd be so sick.
Yeah. There were like flags and stuff in Wizards Unite that like marked different areas of the map that also mm-hmm. could like they use that feature. But anyways.
Yep.
And if you're like me, this is the time to run a level 3 Mega Pokemon since that is all they're really useful for outside of events. You know the drill, evolve a Pokemon to a mega level 3 Mega Pokemon that shares the same type as the Nest Pokemon, throw on some music or a Pokemon Go podcast, elbow poke, and just grind it out in solitude. Just as long as an event doesn't reset the Nest, that is. Come on, Niantic. At least add Nest to Campfire so we can see what's out there. These ideas are free, baby.
Yeah, putting it in Campfire is a smart way to get people to open up Campfire more regularly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The most relevant Nest that I recently encountered was one that featured Bronzor, which I couldn't believe was accessible, being that it's a hot commodity in PvP. If anyone listening follows PvP Corner, XL Bronzor is quite the little terror in Little Cup. It even scares fish. With that said, do any of these appeal to you? Which in particular would have you out for an hour or two, whether it's for the shiny chance, XL candy, or what have you? Side note, I actually encourage people to check out Nest if possible. Most events are very passive these days and can ruin the exploration experience for anyone who doesn't care to grind out every event. What makes the game fun for me is to control the narrative, go for what I find enjoyable that's unrelated to what's current, and carve out my own path. I recommend it. GG's, y'all. Happy holidays, Artemis Dragon.
Yeah, so what's a nesting species that you'd be excited about? Like, if you were suddenly to pay attention to nests and you knew one was down the street, what is the Pokemon that you'd be like, oh, maybe I will go play there a couple times this week?
Maybe this is cheating because it's a new shiny, but Phantump.
It's cheating that's a new shiny.
If Phantump was nesting, I would definitely be tempted because I need the shiny, but also the XL.
Mine is Scyther, and he does nest. I just never pay attention to him.
Another one that's I don't need the shiny for, I have like five of them, but I still would probably be interested, is Yamask. If Yamask nested, I'd be pretty tempted to go there several times for sure.
What about a Ghastly Nest? Now that you have several hundos and they're maxed, do you still have a draw for that or no?
Probably not as much for the nest because I prefer like more guaranteed ways for shinies. I'd sooner do a Mega Gengar raid or a regular Gengar raid in that regard to try and get more hundos.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better way to go.
Especially because I'm still holding out really high hope that we get a Ghastly Community Day Classic some point soon. I can just get all of my XL candy there.
I don't see a version of this where, like, this world that we live in where we don't get one.
Right? Honestly. It's got to happen this year, right?
It has to. It has to.
What do we got left? Like, what are they going to do that's super exciting left?
That's what are they gonna do?
Look, I'm just slightly bitter that it happened like 2 months before XL Candy came out. Okay.
Yeah. No, I understand. I do. And I think I think this year's October was especially traumatic for you because it didn't make any sense. But yeah, let's hope. Let's hold out for this upcoming year. That's gonna be the year of Ghastly Community Classic. You watch it. Cool. Well, thank you very much for the email, Artemis Dragon. Appreciate it. And great ideas. My favorite here is seeing the nesting species in Campfire. I think that's a really solid idea. Cool. And our last one is from MT, and they said, hey guys, found your podcast last week when looking for something to listen to while at work. I mentioned on Twitter that I've started from the very first episode from 2018. I've also just watched your Pokemon Crystal playthrough on YouTube as it's my favorite Pokemon game. Yeah, you've got good taste. It's a good version. In regards to Go, do you both enjoy the PvP aspect of the game? For me, it's my favorite part of the game. Keep up the great work. We'll continue listening from across the pond in rainy England, MT. Well, Spoiler City. We talk about PvP for a hot minute in our like little hodgepodge PvP segment that Kyle and I do for a little bit. But ultimately, it is taken over by people much more qualified and much more passionate about that topic than us. We won't spoil what happens because you'll get there as you listen through the podcast. But rest assured, PvP content is covered and covered much better. the longer you listen.
I don't care too heavily for PvP because you're, you know, asking if we enjoy it. It's all right for me. I just don't particularly want to put in the effort to take part in it.
Yeah.
So I'm not the one to come to for that. Very general information, and that's about it.
Yeah, I like it, but I dabble. I do like 50 to 100 matches a season, maybe, and that's about it. But thank you very much for the email, MT. We hope that you enjoy listening through that old content. I think I responded to you on Twitter/X too, but listening to old Pokemon content like from 4 or 5 years ago, especially with the narrative that's been going on for the past like 8 months in modern Go, has got to be wild. Wild to hear how different it is. But anyway, we hope you still enjoy. And then when you get here, this is a nice little milestone for you. Like, oh, that's the episode I put that email in. Yeah. Okay, anyway, if you, dear listener, would like to send us an email, just like these fine folks did, you can by sending it to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You can also call in and leave a voicemail by calling the number 262-586-7717. Visit our website for all things GoCast at www.gocastpodcast.com. No spaces, no underscores, no hyphens, no nothing. Just one solid word. Follow us on X/Twitter @GoCastPodcast. If you'd like to help support the show for as little as $1 a month, you get Discord access, and that is via Patreon. That's patreon.com/GoCastPodcast. And speaking of patrons, shout outs to our elite trainer tier patrons. Big, big thank you to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Arkham, Marvin, and Mimi, Sforts, Rasui, and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camo, The Ugly Rock, Jacob, Victoria, and Sarah Lore. Thank you very, very much for your generous contributions, for helping us keep the digital lights on, among other things. And if you'd like to help leave, give us more support, even if money is not a thing for you, you can leave us a review. And we got a 5-star review since last time it recorded from Tester 666. And the title was "The Best Pokemon Go Podcast There Is." I can't help but agree. And it read, "I started watching 2 to 3 months ago and thought it was kind of fun. After listening for so long, I became attached to it. Can't recommend it enough. It is such a funny and informative podcast. Any Pokemon Go player will love it. All the jokes and laughs makes you feel makes your life feel way better than what it was as a teenager like me. Highly recommend it." There's some fun ideas in that review. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. And I guess that means that we're at the end, Kyle. We've got to set some goals, man, and then we can get out of here.
Yep.
All right, so what we've got coming up is part 2 for the winter event. We've got Wordier Raid Day, and then we've got real life holidays as well. Oh, yeah, boy. Oh boy.
I'm not ready.
No, me neither. I'm never ready. So what are you looking to achieve before we record next?
All right, I want to get a shiny Wordier. Maybe I'll be one and done and not have to spend any more raid passes. That'd be great.
Nice.
Continue my buddy progress with my Dynamite, and then work on my friend gifting. Make sure I send gifts to people right now. So
Saramanda, chiefly,
to my best. There are several people I should probably be sending gifts to right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who they are, but they definitely have harassed me about it. If you're one of the few or the many, you know, feel free to tag me on Discord. I may not say anything, but I will probably open the gift when you do.
He'll see the tag, be like, "Oh no!" and then open the gift and then forget to respond. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I understand. For myself, I want to catch 3 shiny weird ears. So maybe I'll be 3 and done. Wouldn't that be wild? That'd be great. 2 shinies besides. It could be anything. I've just been so lucky with these event shinies. I'd like to just sort of pour some energy into that and see how it goes. And then 200,000 Stardust as well, because I'm still working on amassing Stardust slowly. And while I have been like spending some, my total right now is 11.2 million.
That's a lot.
It is quite a bit. I think next year my goal is going to be by GoFest to have 15 million, and by end of the year 20 million. and then have that sort of be a baseline. I just like big number when it goes up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dopamine is a hell of a drug.
4.5 million right now.
That is so much, though.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like
that said, I probably could spend it. Like,
yeah,
but I don't need to. I spend it when I need it.
I need to spend half a mil fresh on that Alolan Geodude Shundo.
I'm gonna spend half a million on my Rowlet.
Oh yeah. Oh so yeah.
That's coming up.
We love it. Cool. But that's the end of the show, and we'll see y'all next time for 264. Thanks for listening all the way through. Happy holidays. Happy anything, really, honestly. Have a great Weird Your Raid Day. Enjoy the rest of the winter event, and we'll catch you then. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.